Election Day is just 54 days away, and Wisconsin Public Radio presents a debate between the two candidates seeking to be the state representative in the 92nd Assembly District. Good morning, I'm Dean Kallenbach with a special tag team edition of our regional program's Newsmakers, which you normally hear with Ezra Wall on our La Crosse-based stations, and The West Side, the show I normally host on our stations in the Menominee, Eau Claire, and River Falls area. We're combining the shows today because the 92nd District overlaps the signals of our stations, and we felt it was an efficient way to include the entire district in our program today. So let's meet the candidates. They are Amanda White Eagle of Black River Falls. She's running as a Democrat. She's an attorney and an enrolled member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, having worked for the Ho-Chunk tribe in a variety of capacities over 15 years, including the offices of Attorney General and Senior Tribal Council. Amanda White Eagle, thank you for participating today.
Thank you, Dean.
The incumbent state representative is the 92nd in the 92nd Assembly District is Treg Prochinski of Mondovi. He's a Republican who's seeking his third term. He's a former mayor of Mondovi. He served as a volunteer firefighter, and he owns a construction business. Treg Prochinski, good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dean. Good to be here.
So this forum is set up to allow you to ask your questions of the candidates, or you can join the conversation by calling 800-228-5615. That's one way to get in, 800-228-5615. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. So let's begin. Amanda White Eagle, you're new to state politics. Why would you like to represent the 92nd Assembly District?
Well, I just want to say good morning, Dean, and again, thank you for having me. But first, I would like to acknowledge today is September 11th, and it was a tragic time in our history, but it also led to a time of unity. I was talking to folks this morning about where we were on September 11th, and just really how we felt about it as well. And it led to unity. And I think what I'm excited about is having unity for our communities. Our 92nd represents parts of Jackson, Trempealeau, and Buffalo counties. And I've spent most of my life in Wisconsin. I was born on an Air Force base in North Dakota. And when my dad was discharged, he and my mom decided to move back to Wisconsin because that's where they wanted to raise a family. And I've followed suit. It's where I want to raise my family. I have a daughter in technical school in Madison, and I have two high school students in Black River Falls, as well as an elementary student. And we're just really excited to be a part of our community, and I want great things for our kids. My parents are also local. My dad retired from the state of Wisconsin a decade ago, but he kept working in a variety of capacities. He was recently laid off. But my mom has worked in the healthcare field for the last 30 years. And so I'm really excited to be a part of this community and have just have my parents and my family close to me. My parents instilled a strong work ethic and a commitment to public service. And as you indicated, I've been here for the past 15 years, and they instilled a strong work ethic and a commitment to public service. So I've also served as a judicial officer for 10 years for the Ho-Chunk Nation, as well as the Attorney General. The Ho-Chunk Nation has given me so many opportunities, and I'm so grateful. The reason that I'm running has a lot to do with the impact that I hope that I could make for our community. I hope to bring to the Assembly a new perspective. I've worked in tribal government, and I think that there's a clear path to also give some insight into our state assembly. I'm also a hardworking individual. I'm disappointed by the fact that in the past 3 months, the assembly's only gaveled in and gaveled out for about 19 seconds of work. And there's so much to be done, especially in our district. I'm talking to people. They're excited about things like healthcare, rural broadband, education, and all of this has been exacerbated by the pandemic. And I just think we have a lot of opportunity to really move forward for our district.
Thank you, Amanda White Eagle. Treg Prochinski, you've held this seat since 2016. Why run for a third term?
Yeah, well, thank you, Dean, once again for having me on. And I'm glad to talk to the issues with the opponent, Amanda. Welcome to the show, too, as well. So reason that I'm running for a third term is I feel like I have gotten some results done for the 92nd, and I'll start off with of the 14 bills that I've introduced in the last two sessions, 13 of them have been bipartisan, and I think that that's very important. I want to be a difference maker as well. Amanda talked about she wanted to make a difference. Absolutely. We need to make a difference as an elected official when we go to Madison, and we have to remember of the people who we represent. I feel very rooted in the district. I feel very engaged. I've learned so much from the time I started. I was very excited when I first got elected, as I am right now. But, you know, just to meet new people, to hear their stories, to hear their concerns, hear their successes, hear their struggles, and, you know, just try to move forward and work together. Amanda talked about unity. Absolutely, we have to have unity in our communities, at our state level, and our federal level as well. But, you know, when it gets down to it, it comes down to results for your district. What are you bringing back to the people you represent? And I think I've done a good job at that. And I think moving forward, running again for a third term is the right thing for me to do at this time. And I'm excited about the campaign. I know, you know, was touched on the pandemic. Things are a little different right now. There's no doubt about it. You know, it's something that we haven't seen before. I'm concerned with people's health as I was before the pandemic. You know, we have an aging demographic in the 92nd Assembly. You know, our population is somewhat staying the same or going down in some areas, and that's a concern. I want these communities to be healthy. I want them to grow, and I want them to be successful. And I think that's an important key. You know, just to give a little background, I'm married to my wife, Becky, and I have a daughter, Rachel, who's a freshman in high school right now. And I'm excited for her success moving forward as she becomes an adult. And I think, you know, a reason to run is to pave a way for a future so they can be successful like I have been and the generation before. So I'll just end with that.
That's Trey Prunchinsky. He is the incumbent Republican state representative in the 92nd Assembly District. He's here with his opponent, Amanda Whiteagle, who is the Democratic candidate for that office. If you'd like to join the conversation, you may do so in a couple of ways. You can call 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. You both touched on unity in your opening comments, and I want to move to that first before we launch into some other issues. The benefits of bipartisanship are touted by politicians and voters alike, but divisiveness along party lines and through the politicization of the response to the coronavirus, for example, seems to be deepening in the state and across the country. Amanda Whiteagle, if you're elected to the state assembly, how would you, as a Democrat, work toward bipartisanship with your Republican colleagues?
Dean, that's a really good question. I have spoken to people throughout our district, and it's almost, unfortunately, comical the number of responses I get that are from people just saying how much they hate watching TV right now because of all of the commercials, or they don't like the fact that they don't really know who they can trust. And I think that that is extremely problematic because that shouldn't be the way our communities run. And, you know, with the pandemic and getting people to the table, I think you really talk about what it was to be normal, right? I was looking forward to this school year watching my son Johnny play football for the Black River Falls Tigers, watching my daughter Elena play in the pep band. And now, you know, you wonder if you should go out for Friday night fish. So everything's changing, and I think we really need to take some time to figure out what is the best opportunity and who we should be looking to. And at this point, we need to be looking towards the experts and how to keep our community safe and what's best for each of our communities. So I unfortunately have known people that have passed due to COVID and the impact that that has had on their families, and it's devastating. And on that same token, I've talked to people who don't believe that COVID exists. So we have this divisiveness that we need to figure out how to get people to believe in something together and to promote that unity. I believe that I would be in a good situation to talk to both sides of the aisle and make sure that people understand what the greater good is. It shouldn't be about politics at this point. It should be about keeping our community safe and healthy.
Treg Punchinski, how do you currently work with your Democratic colleagues in the Assembly in a bipartisan way? And are there other opportunities for bipartisanship in the future that you would support?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's something that I try to stress upon importance when I'm in Madison. You know, we talk about Democrats versus Republicans. I honestly believe it's an urban versus rural fight that we're having, not just in Wisconsin, but across the nation. And, you know, my approach, you know, working with Democrats across the aisle is I have to remember one thing to start with. We need a well-rounded Wisconsin. As a body, when we're put down there together and debating, whether we're in committee or on the floor, we have to keep in mind of a well-rounded Wisconsin. And also, we have to think about our districts back home as well. You know, there are Democrats that are rural district representations out there, and I've worked with them over the last two sessions talking about the issues, whether it's agriculture or forestry or, you know, even you know, mental health issues that we have in the rural areas or broadband. There is many issues that we have to work together, you know, across the aisle. You know, what's interesting is, you know, the folks that represent an urban district who maybe just have a large neighborhood in Milwaukee or a suburb of Milwaukee, you know, it's just a small area. They don't even think about broadband because they have it. It's at their fingertips, and it takes discussions with those representatives and say, this is my world. I'd like to learn about your world as well, because we do need unity. There is no doubt in my mind. And when we talk about this pandemic, boy, you don't know what you have until it's taken away from you. And a lot of things have been taken away from some folks, and it's very frustrating. And, you know, it's hard to navigate through these times when folks are upset about things that they love, whether it's a sport that their child is playing or, you know, a club that you might be involved with or even a church that you couldn't attend. Those are tough things. And, you know, we've had a great run up until this pandemic. When we talk about our freedoms, we were able to do whatever we wanted to within the law whenever we could. And this is something that our young kids have had a very difficult time dealing with. As an adult, we have our minds are a little bit more developed, and we can fight through this a little better. But it's our job to explain to these young folks that we will come through. And as an elected official, you need to be a leader. And no doubt about it, you have to talk to your communities, your organizations, whether it's a Lions Club or a community club, and see which direction we're going. Because what I fear is after this year, since all these things were canceled, that they might not happen again, because it's so easy to stop once you quit.
One area of potential bipartisan conversation, Governor Evers recently announced the formation of a People's Maps Commission and who will serve on it. He calls the commission a nonpartisan commission charged with drawing fair, impartial maps based on 2020 census data. That'll be the charge of the legislature in the next round, is to develop the new districts. And Treg Punchinski, while there's been some bipartisan support for past redistricting legislation, your fellow Republicans who control the legislature have not pursued any of it so far. What do you think of the governor's maps commission, and what redistricting model would you favor?
Well, we have had a system put in place, and I don't hold me to this, but I believe it's since the early 1900s, maybe the 1920s, on our Constitution states that the legislature draws the maps and it gets approved through the governor through a bill process. And you know, that's something that has been debated and talked about for years. The only concern that I have when we talk about changing the format is we do, I believe, not clear-cut have a nonpartisan board, because I think everybody is a little bit partisan. And I think that that would be difficult to navigate through. Now, the legislature is voted on through the people, and they are giving the authority through our Constitution for the particular legislators to draw the maps. And I think that that gets the public involved more in a whole. Now, I'm not saying that the process is perfect. I don't know if changing it would be better or worse until it would get changed and the proof would be there over time. But, you know, it's something that if I do indeed get reelected, that we're going to have to deal with this, and we're going to have an open approach. And, you know, I'm sure in the past that there's been other ideas thrown forth, and they had to approach it at that time. And quite honestly, I don't know who's going to be in charge of the legislature after this election, and it could be the other way. You just don't know.
Amanda White Eagle, what do you think of the governor's People's Maps Commission, and what redistricting model do you favor?
That's a really good question. I had the opportunity to take a brief look at it, and, you know, speaking to different members of the district, they're, by and large, on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, are in favor of fair maps and representation. And the concerns, when you're making a map and you're a legislator, you could be accused of just ensuring that you keep your job. And it taints the process when it looks as though it becomes completely partisan. And we talk a little bit about partisan politics and how that affects our districts. And I've found that the people in our 92nd have a variety of concerns and issues. But if you look at the voting record of my opponent, he's sided with Republican politics and leadership 100% of the time. And I think that this is an opportunity for us to have an independent voice. And I think that's the goal, is to have somebody else review the process, and ultimately it'll go through legislative approval. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but to take some of it away and look, have somebody else look at it independently, I think that's nothing but a strength.
That's Amanda White Eagle of Black River Falls. She's a Democratic candidate in the 92nd Assembly District. The incumbent is with us as well. He is Treg Prunchinsky, the Republican from Mondovi. Your questions are welcome for our candidates. You can email them to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org, or call 800-228-5615. That phone number again, 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is the debate for the 92nd Assembly District on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking to the candidates in the 92nd Assembly District today, and we've touched on this, but the big issue that's dominated the news so far this year has been the COVID-19 pandemic. The 92nd District includes parts of Buffalo, Jackson, and Trempealeau counties. Those counties have a combined total of over 600 positive COVID-19 cases and 5 deaths. Positive cases in the state continue to rise, especially after the holiday weekend and the start of the school year. Amanda White Eagle, what are you seeing in the 92nd Assembly District when it comes to public health and safety in the midst of the pandemic? And what do you think of Governor Evers' attempts to mandate statewide safety measures?
Dean, that's another good question. Our 92nd has a lot of opportunity. At the same time, we have a lot of fear when it comes to COVID-19. I've talked to a number of people that are concerned about their jobs and their livelihood, and oftentimes it's tied to their health care. And there's a lot of fear right now about what the next step's going to be. I think since school has started, as a mother, I have a lot of concerns. And Right now, I think the teachers are the real superheroes because they're on the ground and taking risks and talking about options that for on behalf of our children. You know, I have two teenagers that learn better in person, and they're in school every day. But I have an elementary school student who's studying virtually. So there's a lot to be done. You know, we need to listen to both our local schools and have them explain to us what's best and keeping that local control. Because, again, people honestly don't know what to trust right now, and that's a complete disservice to our community. There is also concern about just healthcare generally and what we have access to. And if there's an ongoing concern there, how we're going to make sure that we can keep our healthcare providers well. So we have some different options, and I know you gave us examples of what we could see in our communities, but I think that our numbers are going to be going up, and we need to have a plan in place. And Tony Evers gave a plan, and although it by and large isn't supported by Republican leadership, I'm not seeing the Republican plan. And that's what we need right now, is we need a plan.
Craig Brunchinski, your party has accused the governor of overreaching in his Safer at Home order this spring and in the current mask mandate. What is your plan and that of your party for managing the pandemic?
Well, I think an important factor in this pandemic that we have is when Governor Evers puts out an executive order and it's a broad paintbrush across the state, I don't think that benefits each of these local areas best. There are county health departments that are engaged directly every day. It's been touched upon by Amanda regarding, you know, the schools and the heroes there as the school teachers and the faculty. They right now can keep a very close eye on what's going on in the school. It's also important that parents pay attention of what their child is doing. They should always be watching over their child to make sure they're safe, whether it's about the COVID or any other type of sickness or just plain being safe. Also, I want to touch, we talk about heroes. I think the emergency services out there are absolute heroes during this pandemic. When the call goes off through a dispatch through the county and they have to go to these places not knowing what they're going to see, whether it's COVID or anything, they have not stopped. And I appreciate everything that they do out there. But, you know, getting back to, you know, Governor Evers' orders, the mask mandate is not popular with some. Others are okay with it. And there again, we're in uncharted territory, and I know we've been in it about 6 months here, and every day that goes by, we know more and more. And you talked about in the 92nd, I believe we have 5 deaths. I think that's updated today. That's accurate of today. And I'm not, you know, one death is too many. And it's a horrible thing to happen. And I'm grateful that the numbers in the 92nd comparative to others are not as high. And, you know, I just think that it's common sense that has been used across the district, and those numbers have been low. But, you know, moving forward, if something flares up, we are going to have to be proactive. We don't want the hospitals to be overwhelmed, and as we never have wanted them to be overwhelmed, and they need the resources. And I think right now and moving into this next session, we need to take a close eye on how we're going to take on pandemics if we have any more in the future. And you don't know until you try. And that's what we have to do. We have to try to come up with some solutions moving forward in the future.
Still time for you to join the conversation. 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Ideas@wpr.org. I want to stay a little bit on the topic relating to COVID, but shifting a bit. The 92nd district we've established, very rural district. Students, not only students, but workers and businesses are relying on internet access more than ever in this time of staying at home and social distancing. How do you rate the current broadband access and how would you improve it? And Amanda White Eagle, I'll have you address that question first.
Sure. I believe that we can make a lot of improvements for our rural broadband, but not just rural broadband. It's also cell phone service. I'd be happy if I could drive from Black River Falls to Galesville and maintain cell service or a conversation. And we just can't right now. It's really important that we ensure that we have money placed to expand this, not only for things like education access for those that are going to school virtually, but also for teleworking. There are some positions that people could be working remotely and not have to potentially spread COVID, but we need that to be an option. Additionally, items like telemedicine and telehealth, we have the capability for doctors to see patients, and we really need to just figure out how to make that happen. Now, I know that Governor Evers proposed a really large budget when it came to expanding rural broadband, and unfortunately, it was cut by the Republicans, and that, to me, is just unacceptable. We have to figure out how to get rural broadband internet to all of our homes. So I know that there was an issue for our rural area where a lot of kids had to drive to the local high school and sit in the parking lot in order to do their homework. We have to come up with something better. I think that if we expand, it'll have a lot of really positive effects as well on our businesses. You know, I talked to one business owner, and he said that if there's a cloudy day, he doesn't have credit card sales. And to me, I just don't know how you can run a business like that. We need to come up with some solutions, and I think I'm in a good position to really advocate for our community and make sure that we're moving right along with the technology and still keeping our rural community safe.
Craig Pranchinski, you serve on the Assembly's Committee on Rural Development. What work are you doing there to improve rural broadband?
Yeah, well, thank you for mentioning the Rural Development Committee, and I also touch on we have the Rural Wisconsin Initiative, which is a group of legislators that talk about these exact issues. And you know, with the committee itself, I'll just look on one bill that got passed, and it's Act 128. It allows telephone companies tax exemption for property use to provide for broadband service. You know, there were companies out there that would have to pay personal property taxes on their equipment, and if they're able to get the download speed and the upload speed to a certain standard, they would be able to get a tax break on that, which I think is important because our district really, really needs some expansion. There's no doubt about it. And I'm also going to say there are people that really could care less about broadband. I talked to someone yesterday. He does not have internet. He doesn't have a computer, and there's nothing changing his mind about that. And it makes it more difficult to, you know, relay information to him, but that's his choice. And those types of people are out there, but we do need to look to the future. And if we are going to want to attract people to the 92nd Assembly District, whether it's rural Mondovi, rural Black River, rural Arcadia, we need to have that service there. And these companies out there are a little hesitant to invest the hard wires that cost around $30,000 a mile because their return is not as high as they think is to stay afloat. Because there's many, many farmsteads that are going vacant because, you know, the families are getting smaller and people are moving more towards the urban areas, but yet there's still folks out there that would like it who might be running a mechanic shop out of their, you know, their farmyard or something like that, or a construction business that they're running out of their own home. it doesn't matter what business they have, but they would really like the internet service. And during this pandemic, absolutely, we want to stay safe. And if we can do it through internet sales and or set up deliveries with businesses and larger communities, it would be great for everybody to have it. And I'm hoping that sometime in the near future, we have a satellite system out there that is foolproof. And I don't know when that's going to happen, but in the interim, we need to fight for these things. And we've talked about this many a times in Madison. And there again, I'm one of 132 people who have to come together and pass something that's good for Wisconsin. And it's my job to talk to these urban legislators. And actually, when they come up in the area and I ask them whether on their vacation or what they're doing, did you have good cell service? And, you know, I kind of chuckle about it because they don't, and they don't know what to do because they don't ever have that situation where they live. And we just have to get better. But, you know, it was touched on about telehealth. I believe Representative Summerfield from Bloomer had the telehealth bill where we could do some things over, you know, phone or internet rather than going to the doctor's office, because it really is an all-day event for some of these folks to leave the rural area, to go to Black River, to go to Eau Claire or La Crosse for health care. And the more telehealth we can do, the better, because it's less of a cost for everybody. And I think that that's good. And that was one thing that I was pretty happy that we got through the state legislature. So that's kind of what my thoughts are on that.
Some of the things that make the 92nd District such a beautiful area. I mean, Trempealeau, Buffalo, Jackson counties, some gorgeous scenery in that neck of the woods. And that's part of what makes broadband difficult. It's also part of what makes roads and bridges that tie those communities together really important. The rolling hills, the winding rivers, the rural nature makes that a challenge. Craig Pronchinsky, is the state doing what it needs when it comes to that type of infrastructure?
Okay. That is something that I've been pushing as well. And last budget, we had an increase to counties and municipalities, approximately 11% for both for infrastructure. And I think that was the step in the right direction. Just for the numbers, it was $23 million of an increase to the counties and $65 million to municipalities of an increase. And that is a step in the right direction. But we've had the discussion about a gas tax, or, you know, fees, raising fees, what's good, what's bad. And I really believe we need to put more money into our rural infrastructure. We're very lucky to have some of these roads fixed up. We've had the Highway 93 project between Oliva and Independence that's just about finishing up. That is a great project to get done. It's sure nice. They're working on 121 from Independence to Gilmanton. That is getting worked on right now. You know, those are dollars that are coming back to the district. And I know there's a few other smaller projects out there across the district that are going on. But, you know, people want to see results when they pay their gas tax or their fee. And we have to come up with something that is foolproof and long-term, because it's going to cost how much more to fix in the future. And we need good rural roads to get our crops or our forestry or our commerce to where it needs to go. And it is essential. And I will continue to work on getting the local municipalities dollars in the future. And I was the former mayor of Mondovi, and I know when we talk about budgets, about what we could or couldn't do. And it was frustrating at times because there wasn't a lot of growth in tax base that was coming to the particular city, and it was frustrating, but all good things take time, and we are headed in the right direction with that 11% increase last budget.
Amanda White Eagle, you talk about the need to fix our roads in your campaign website. What measures should the legislature take to bring our roads back to where they should be?
It's actually something that a lot of potential constituents have really talked about. People call and say, year after year, we hear from our assembly folks that they're going to fix our roads, and nothing happens. And I'm always sort of surprised, because You know, I've never been a politician. I don't know a lot about roads, but I'm willing to learn. And so I've talked to people, looked at, you know, some of the research that exists about roads, and I'm just really surprised that we don't have a better plan. You know, back in February, we were showcased on a national newspaper. The worst roads in the United States were in Trempealeau County. And we just need to make some changes and figure out how we can get funds to ensure that we have quality roads. And when I think about, you know, funding, and I know we're talking about different taxes, but I also think about Foxconn. Assembly members like Rep. Prunchinsky voted to effectuate the biggest taxpayer giveaway to a foreign corporation in U.S. history. Instead of spending that money here in Jackson, Trempealeau, and Buffalo counties, I think that we need to make sure that it's an emphasis, but we need to make sure we're spending wisely, and I don't know if that's been happening.
Amanda White Eagle is the Democrat from Black River Falls. Trig Prunchinsky is the Republican incumbent from Mondovi. They're running for the 92nd Assembly District, and we still have time for your questions for the candidates. Call 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. Sue's been waiting. We're going to get to her after the break. Or you can email ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. This is the debate in the 92nd Assembly District. I'm Dean Kallenbach on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Dean Kallenbach. We're back today on Wisconsin Public Radio with our 92nd Assembly debate. Amanda White Eagle, the Democrat from Black River Falls, Trey Prunchinsky, the Republican incumbent from Mondovi, are our candidates. Let's move to the phones now and welcome Sue in. Sue from Mondovi, thanks for joining us. What's your question for the candidates?
Yes. First, one quick correction. On all those road projects that Representative Prunchinsky was talking about, Trempealeau County did borrow to make those road projects happen. There may have been an increase in the gas or in the road funding, but they had to borrow to make those happen. But my main question is for Representative Prunchinsky. As you have said, you have been in office for 4 years, and you're talking about how nice it would be to have broadband and how wonderful it would be to have this and how great it would be to improve schools. But I would like to know specifically, not getting off on any side tangents, what you have done to improve those things in your 2 terms in office.
Representative Prunchinsky.
Yes. So the school, to improve our schools, we've had record increases per pupil of $604 per student over the last 2 years. And that was the same the previous budget in 2017. So 2019. $604 per student increase, which I think is important, because when we look at the, you know, the bus routes and the declining enrollment at these schools, that helps out, because if there's a declining enrollment, you still need bus routes, you still need, you know, lunch workers and janitorial service, and you still have sports programs and all this stuff. So I think that was a pretty big deal. Also, too, the school safety grants that came through in 2018, I believe August of 2018, to keep our kids safe regarding security. Every one of my school districts, all 15 of them, got some type of state aid. And if you look at the schools out there, you can physically see it, as well as there was training regarding safety with the faculty there. And I think that was really, really important. And I think the other part of the question, if I remember right, it was regarding
broadband,
road funding, correct?
And broadband as well.
And broadband. So we'll start with road funding. In 2018, there was some federal dollars that came to the state for bridge infrastructure. And out of the, I believe, 99 bridges in the state, the 92nd Assembly District got 6 of those bridges for funding. It was an 80% federal grant and a 20% local match, 10% with counties, 10% with the exact local municipality. Because let's face it, our bridges are deteriorating. There is no doubt about that. And, you know, we have to stay ahead of the game on this. And I'm in contact with the highway departments. I was just talking to a commissioner the other day regarding a bridge. And, you know, it's talked about all the time. And we have to stay ahead of this, because if we don't, like I said before, it is going to cost an extreme amount. And, you know, getting to broadband, I talked earlier, and I don't know if the caller didn't hear regarding the work in the Rural Development Committee, you know, giving the tax break or the tax incentive for these companies to put in hardwire broadband service, and then they would not have to pay for their personal property taxes on their equipment that is out there, because they're constantly paying over and over with that. And hopefully that initiates more broadband expansion. And you can't force, the government cannot force these companies to spend money where they're going to lose money. And that's the bridge we have to gap. And like I said, I'm going to continue to work on this broadband. And I feel the pain with this, because I don't have the service that I want of all the places that I go. And, you know, I'll just touch on the emergency services. If you have someone who can't call 911 and they can't get through, that's not a good thing. And the more landlines that are disappearing, sometimes it could make the difference of someone's life and death. And those are the things that I stress upon.
Amanda White Eagle, we've had an opportunity to talk with you already about broadband and roads, but the subject of school funding is one I'd like you to respond to. WPR's education reporter Madeline Fox reported last week that Wisconsin Policy Forum has a new white paper showing Wisconsin has dropped in national rankings of per-pupil spending, moving from 12th place to 24th place between 2002 and 2018. Still, aid to schools is the largest spending category in the state budget, making up 35% of tax revenue expenditures. So what would your plan be for school funding?
My plan for school funding... Hello? Oh, there we go.
Go ahead.
My plan for school funding is certainly something that I want to learn more about. Again, I'm new to the arena of politics. However, I can say as a mother, I have the kids in Black River Public School, and with the report card, I think by the state, our district had a D-. However, it's not due to, you know, educators lacking experience or anything like that. It's due to resources. We need people to have more resources and figuring out how to get quality people to return to our district as well. So I went to undergraduate at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I attended law school at the University of Wisconsin Law School. And there I was able to learn about the Wisconsin Idea. And the whole goal was to return to our community and invest the education that we have. And right now, our kids have a lot of opportunities. Our opportunities will also be tied to our funding. So we do need to ensure that we're investing properly. Because as you're stating, we have definitely fallen in rankings, but it's something that we can improve upon, and I'm committed to ensuring that that happens.
We've got an email from Michelle in Ettrick who says, COVID doesn't just cause death. Survivors endure ongoing symptoms which require health care. How can folks who've lost jobs due to COVID, thus are uninsured, access affordable health care to get and stay well? Amanda White Eagle, you say health care for many in rural Wisconsin is inaccessible and unaffordable. How do you propose dealing with health care?
I think health care needs to be an immediate concern. By and large, I think Michelle is correct. Right now, we don't know what the potential outcomes from COVID-19 and its contraction could lead to. We need legislation which will address that, and that will include health care coverage. There were opportunities that the legislature could have taken up which allowed for coverage for people. And I think if we've learned from anything from this pandemic is that health care completely tied to employment is problematic. I think we should really look at how to expand any type of health care coverage, and if that means expanding Badger Care, if that means expanding Medicare, that's something that we need to look at and figure out if it's a possibility. I know that it's been brought up in the past and it hasn't gained traction, but every person that I've talked to in our district is supportive of that. And I think that says a lot about our community and how we want to take care of each other.
Greg Pronchinsky, the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram, ran an article earlier this week about the record number of Americans who've lost their employer-provided health care during this pandemic. Is it time to offer a public option or expand eligibility for government programs like Medicaid and Medicare?
Yeah, well, there again, we're talking about the pandemic that we've never seen before, and we can't foresee the future if we're going to see this type of outbreak, you know, happen repeatedly over and over. You know, my concern is with giving more and more health care to everybody out there, at what point do we stop? And we have to be realistic and live within our means of what we have in the government revenues. You know, we talk about earlier broadband and road and schools, and it goes on and on and on. We need to take care of all of these particular issues out there. You know, one thing when we talk about health costs, I mentioned earlier telehealth. That is a step in the right direction to hope to drive these costs down, to be able to have healthcare facilities in these small communities so people don't have to drive an hour away to get their services, and they can get in and get out and hopefully in a timely fashion. And I think that that's important, you know, supporting local hospitals. You know, one thing that I want to talk about is mental health regarding the emergency psychiatric beds in Eau Claire. That was something that got through during this the special session for the CARES Act, the special session we had in Wisconsin regarding COVID. You know, just putting the beds in Eau Claire is going to save the taxpayers thousands of dollars, so they don't have to drive across the state when someone needs some mental care. And I think that's regionalizing that, and I think that that's important, you know, because mental health is just as important as physical health out there. And I'm so happy that Representative James and Senator Bernier spearheaded that, and they were very persistent, and they got it done. And I'm happy for that to happen. And, you know, just moving forward, we have to pay close attention to the pandemic right now and where we're going in the future with taking care of people. We need to take care of the people who've taken care of us, the elderly. We need to take care of our vulnerables, and we need to take care of our youth out there. You know, a strong community works together, and that is the attitude we need to have.
Craig Pronchinsky and Amanda White-Eagle are the candidates for the 92nd Assembly District. Thank you to both of you for joining us today. Catherine Thomas produced today's program. Dawn Jewell is our studio engineer. Patrick Eikens manages publicity, and Kate Spranger takes care of our archives. Bonnie Clark and Sue Johnson help us with transcripts. Next week on the Menominee, Eau Claire, and River Falls stations, the West Side features another legislative debate, this time in the 68th Assembly District. Newsmakers will look at the 94th Assembly District. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This is Wisconsin Public Radio.